Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Belgian Wallflower Ride podcast show. We're going to keep it going with catching up with our award winners. And on this one, we're going to chat with Kudos Award winner Allison Tetrick. There were two Kudos Award winners this year at the Belgian Wallflower Ride. And first, we're going to jump in with Michael. Michael's going to kind of discuss on why Allison won it, what kind of feedback he was getting from other people that kind of nominated her to this level to win the Kudos Award. And then once we hear Michael's kind of take on it, we're going to jump into our interview with Allison post-BWR, where she talks about the event, winning the award, women's cycling, you know, the state of cycling with racing events in the U.S., just kind of her overall, you know, take on where it's going, you know. And then we really break down her ride. She had a really up and down ride with, you know, kind of being there in the beginning, and then she had a couple crashes, and then she kind of just sat back and, you know, kind of took in the party and the atmosphere. And I think that's where she really kind of shined with winning her Kudos Award, because she's just hanging out with people, you know, having a laugh, hanging out at those sack stops, just really, like, you know, bringing that vibe together, which is so fun that so many people have at the Belgian Waffle Ride. So yeah, let's first hear from Michael, and then we're gonna jump in with Allie. Enjoy.
Allison Tetrick. Allison didn't have the race that she would have liked to have had. There was an early crash that she ended up in at the bottom of a dog pile, and that wasn't her only crash. So instead of quitting, or, you know, jumping in the sag wagon or doing what a lot of other people do, because up till this year, 40% of the people that start the BWR never finish it. She went after it, and not only did she go after it, but she encouraged every single person along the way, dragged people with her. Every person that she passed, she yelled encouragement, pushed them up the hill, did everything that Udo would have done, and did it with a smile, even though she was badly bruised and bloodied. She really, really exhibited that spirit that we love.
All right, on the phone, we got Allie Tetrick. Allison, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's summer, lots of bike riding, and all things adventure now, nothing serious. So it's a good life.
I feel like everything for what you're doing now should be not serious at all. Like, you're not racing anymore, like, at the professional level. Like, you're having the fun times now, so you should just lose that serious word out of your vocabulary.
No, there's no serious. It's just about fun, adventure. Sometimes I like to go really hard and, you know, do a little, you know, smack talking every now and then. And other times I just like to, you know, take some photos for the Instagram.
Yeah, actually, like, you do a pretty good job with keeping everyone updated, like, especially on your Twitter with, like, your little quotes from your group rides with what people say. Those are pretty great. If you don't follow Allison on Twitter, you should definitely tune into those.
I had a couple people get offended. They say, do you not like people talking to you on group rides? I go, no, I think that's the point of group rides, is a little heckling, you know, telling somebody that I should go faster, and, you know, they're, you know, and that's what it's about. And you kind of ride harder or you don't, and it's your choice and your prerogative. And, you know, that's why we ride bikes together, right? Like, it's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we think, you know, is there are some people out there that probably don't want to hear that at all. They're like, you know, super serious and, you know, roadie. Like, yeah, I don't want to go down that tunnel. We're here to talk about fun. So, and speaking of the fun, let's talk about the recent BWR, which was number, which one, number was that for you now?
That's my number 3, but I will tell you, that's the only second one I finished, which we've covered. One involved, yes, okay. Uber. The last two, oh, I had,
yeah,
finished.
That was great. Yeah, if you're not gonna finish, grab an Uber XL. Cruise on back to the brewery. Courtesy, I know, of Allison Tetrick.
Yeah, you know, that was the first year. Now I finished 2. You know, I guess I got 3rd last year, and this year I finished. So
you got
I'm okay
with the Kudos
that.
Award this year.
I did. So, like, I didn't know there was a Kudos Award. Podium. I'm very excited.
No, that was awesome. I mean, like, I know that's one thing Michael wants to make these awards kind of almost more prestigious than actually, like, getting on the podium or something. So you've got a podium finish and you've got a Kudos Award now. So you're well ahead.
Yeah, I ended up this year. I had a you know, a team, we were kind of like the Bad News Bears. We're just kind of like this ragtag group of Specialized ambassadors and employees of Specialized. And we kind of went under Specialized Rocket Espresso. So we did want like win the team overall, which thank heavens I finished after crashing so hard, else we would not have won the team overall. But I was in a very interesting space just finishing Belgian Waffle Ride this year. I definitely started out hard and was racing and felt relatively competitive. And I hit the deck really hard. And if for anyone that knows my past and crashing and concern about that, I needed to reset a bit. And it took a while. Like I kept going hard and still in good contention, but then I realized I needed to make sure I took my health very seriously over any sort of results. And then I just kind of joined the party bus and I had a blast. So it was a really fun year, although challenging due to circumstances.
So, you know, like the kind of like the summary of what I heard about that, I was like, you're taking it very seriously. You're trying to be all racy. And it caught up with you, and then you decided to join the party bus, and you had a great time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when I hit some sand sections, and I ended up, you know, at the bottom of a pile of a lot of people, and I'm like, I sure hope that's a clavicle I feel, because this is really sharp and hard, and turns out it was actually probably a chain ring. I was wishing it was a clavicle at that point. So I had, like, chain ring marks all the way from, like, your hip bone all the way up to your chest through your rib cage. I was just, like, bleeding everywhere. And I'm going, rad. And then I was, you know, you've been a professional bike racer. I've been a professional bike racer. So you just, I had a moment, maybe a couple tears. And then I'm like, well, I'm just going to rally. I'm going to do this. So I, like, bridge back up to the group. And they're looking at me going, you're not okay. I'm like, obviously. Like, what was your first sign?
You're just like doing like that blonde emoji girl with like the hand sticking out, like, obviously. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, like my elbow looks like it has a tennis ball growing out of it, my knee's gushing blood, like there's blood seeping through my jersey, and I'm like, obviously I'm not okay. And luckily I had a really good support team around me that were like, why don't you just cool your jets?
Like, simmer down, going, fine.
Like, just stop. And I was like, well, of course I'm not going to stop. And so we kept going pretty hard. What most people probably don't know is that I crashed again down Black Mountain, the sandy descent. Like, and nice. Then I'm like, all right, now I'm done. Like, I can't handle any more of this. My body's kind of toast. So I entered a little bit of a La La Land space for a while, reevaluated all my life decisions. And then the party bus sounded super fun.
I like, so, it only took two crashes to get to the party bus. Like, we got to like minimize those two crashes and just start you on the party bus.
Yeah, it was like two crashes, 60 miles in. And then I'm like, where's the freaking tequila? It is March. It is Cinco de Mayo. I did find tequila. I found the beers. I mean, it was okay after that.
So let's backtrack a little bit, backpedal. I want to, you know, maybe for people that haven't been there or people that have been there, like, you know, you've done a ton of races, you know, you've done the biggest pro races, you know, you've done racing in Europe, you know, whatever, everyone knows what you've done. But so kind of, can you like kind of explain almost like the setting of BWR, like when you like roll up? Obviously it's a little earlier start time for you than like, you know, professional races, but like, I mean, what's kind of that vibe like? You know, are you in a hotel close by, you're up early, like what's, you know, what are you doing for breakfast, like kind of rolling up, are you stoked, are you nervous, is there like a fun atmosphere, like how about you break that down for us?
I do, I'd like to say I'm not nervous, but there's a sense of nerves. I mean, there's a lot of people on that start line and a lot of people want to go fast in whatever particular section they want to. So to see the end of the pack, it takes a while just because so many people love BWR, which it's a great event. I do stay at the hotel that's really close by, so it's within a mile. So I just roll from my hotel. And, you know, I have done that professional bike racing thing for a long time, so now I'm not super stressed about breakfast or preparation. As long as I have coffee, and I think this year I had a piece of banana bread or something. I mean, whatever the hotel had, I was like, yeah, that looks fine. Like, let's put something in my stomach and I'll be fine, and fuel on the bike. So I did, you know, I packed though food on the
bike.
So
you didn't do like a, I just want to hold on, sorry to cut you off. You didn't do like a huge breakfast, or, you know, I've got my oatmeal and my bag of whatever. Like, you're just like, I'll be fine, little snack, and then just eat on the bike.
Right, because doesn't that start at 7? Is that right? Or
it earlier? Starts very early.
So I have a rule. I don't get up early. So I like, if it starts at 7, like, there was no way I was getting up before 6. So, like, why get up so early? I don't want to. And I mean, I'm a 8-minute bike ride, or, you know, 6-minute bike ride to the start. So I want to, but you can't have a lot of food in your stomach, because that would hurt. Because the start, as you know, it can be hard. So
no,
I just prefer
it. Fast,
yeah,
for sure. There's no like secret about that. BWR is a fast start now.
Yeah, it's fast. So if I wanted to prepare like I was doing a spring classic like Flanders, yeah, you want to eat 3 hours before, all this stuff. But like, I'm not getting up at 5 or 4:30 in the morning. So I set my alarm for like 6:15. You know, have a cup of coffee, like a bite of food. I'm like, well, guess I'm going to have some goose, because I would prefer sleep over,
not a bad little pro tip right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to eat a substantial amount of calories, it needs to be within, you know, 2 or 3 hours before. But I found in my career that the biggest benefit is eating a good dinner, like relatively early, which I did not the night before. But if you want my pro tip, you should do that. You know, you eat 5 or 6, 7, and then you have plenty of time to digest it. But there's really nothing you can put in your stomach in that morning. Your glycogen stores should be full. So, you know, you can only eat 250 to 350 calories, which isn't much. And you should be fine. But then you just have to remember, if you do that, you need to be fueling early. And the first hour is really stressful. So it is hard to fuel early there. Also, it's early in the morning. And, you know, you might not be like, sweet vanilla gel right now. But so, it is beneficial.
No, definitely. So how was you know, kind of getting to the start, and we kind of touched on like it is pretty fast. Like, did you notice this year any faster, different from like last year or the year before? Obviously last year was the same course, so you can kind of gauge on that. But like, did you feel any difference?
The start was much faster this year than last year. I felt like last year was a little more neutralized for a bit. This year, I'm like just talking, and suddenly I look up and I'm like, oh man, I gotta go. This is super stressful. Because you look back, and like I said, you don't see the end of the pack. So you're like, yeah. I have to actually be going really hard. So I felt like this year was harder than normal, or at least in the year previous on the same course. And then when you hit the 180 and to go into the single track, the other, you know, fun factor was that like rock pit we all rode through. I was fine through it, but a lot of people were not. Like, you just see flat tires.
Yeah, that was new this year.
Yeah, that was a fun addition. Super fun.
Surprise.
I didn't expect that. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, I'm riding it. Like, I was probably like top 50 at that point. So you're like, well, I guess I'm riding through the rock pit, because surely my bike's going to handle that. And it did. It was fine. But then you get into single track, and it's stressful. You know, there's a lot of people fighting for position, and sometimes like unnecessarily so, because once you get on that single track, like, it's probably not the time to be passing people. It's, you know, you are where you're at. And then there's a lot of road. There's a long day ahead of you, but you know, people get excited. So I found it, very stressful.
How, just like, this is curious on my end. I've always wondered this, like, so you started in the first wave, obviously, and that's kind of like, you know, the elite, you know, Cat 1-2 Pro, like, you kind of whatever, like the elite riders, but there's still at least a few hundred people, a couple hundred. How is positioning with that group of people compared to like when you would be racing like pro women's only? Is it a huge difference? Is it like, are you fine? Is it comfortable? Is there any difference? You know, obviously I've never done a women's pro race, bike race, but like how is that?
I think it's different because when you do something like, say you're doing the Tour of Flanders or Liège-Bastogne-Liège, or, you know, something that where position really matters at critical points. But you're all like, you're with your peers. So there's also team tactics, there's strategy, and there's position that matters. But usually most people have a role in that. And this is kind of like, you're just throwing, I don't know, this potpourri of people into this and just saying, yeah, take there a is left no turn.
Teams. It's free. Yeah, definitely very free for all, like individualized almost. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I imagine like people like that are sprinting at the end of a race and they don't have a train. They're just kind of hopping off people.
Yeah. So there's a little less. Yeah, it's a little more mayhem only because there's not like an ultimate goal, because maybe a couple people have teammates, but in all reality, it's everybody's like just mercenaries, right? They're like, sweet, I want to do as well as I can. You're like, but that's not how you, okay, never mind, that's how you do it. So it's fine. It makes it interesting and dramatic and, you know, but after that first part, as you know, it sorts out because
yeah,
no one can maintain that effort for the entire time. And it can be, you have to be calculated, you have to feel appropriately and pace yourself, but you know, everyone always feels like a million bucks at the start, you know? And I'm looking at some of these people, I'm like, oh man, just like chill out for a sec. Yeah, like
simmer down.
There's a long climb coming up.
Like, yeah, we'll not good. Gonna be there, don't worry.
We'll sort it out. But you know, everyone wants to be excited and enjoy it. And I think that's something that's cool about the event is that people are amped and excited to be out there. And everyone, I guess one thing that's interesting about BWR is there's something on that course for everybody. I'm going to tell you the U-turn into the single track is not the part of the course that's for me, but
that's nor tough the part.
Single track.
It's nor like the single a downhill track, nor the sand. Coming up. Yeah, that's a, you know, it's one thing to have like a fine. It's funny, like the way I look at it, like you almost have like that, you know, in racing, like the turn before like the start of a climb or like the last finishing climb, like it usually like that race to that corner is kind of towards the end of the race, and so mm-hmm. it's like almost like a little depleted field or like, you know, something like that. But like BWR is like very early on, so everyone is very fresh and very
everyone's fresh
to hit that corner or that, you know, to get on that single track first.
Yeah, and it's a little angsty, you know, I mean there's a lot of stress and pressure on the, you know. And it's fine, but, you know, later on you pass people that, like, box you out somewhere, and you're like, hey, man, how's that going for you? And you're, they're sitting on the side of the road cramping. You're like, you good? You need anything? That looks painful. But I think that's fun, though, because it does, like, offer that potpourri for, like, potpourri or whatever, like, for everybody, you know? And that's, it is fun because everyone wants to, I'm going to throw back to, like, what was it, 3 years ago at BWR where you decided just to shred that section? Or was that the last year? And you did that for fun?
That was really, I think me and Neil did that together. Cause I knew I didn't have like the legs to go the distance. So I was like, yeah, we'll just make it fun for the first part. And yeah, I think, no, that was like the last year, I think, when I was in the tank top year.
Yeah. So, and so, I mean, really so
that was like my example, race right there.
Yeah, you did it. So that's what's kind of fun, because there could be like, you can climb Black Mountain, which is a long climb, and that could be your jam. You can like bomb single track, that's your jam. You can bomb a sandy descent, that's your jam. I mean, people find all parts of that course that they just want to rip. And, you know, the places I want to rip may not be those
sections.
You
want to rip that bottle of tequila.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, where's the tequila? Where's a really long climb? Where's something that's really hard and like windy and sticky, but not technical? Like, where can I go hard there? But it's fine because I think it makes everybody, you know, have fun on their certain sectors of the course. And that makes it interesting and stimulating throughout the day.
No, definitely. There definitely is a little something for everyone throughout that 155 miles or distance, whatever it is now. Speaking of that, so what, let's talk, kind of like go over your bike real quick. What did you, cause that was obviously a big talking point for us with going into the event. What were you going to ride, you know, and on, I mean, not just you in general, but like everyone we talked to, like the skill level you have or like what you feel comfortable on. So like, what did you end up coming together with for your setup?
So I actually got to ride a brand new bike that Specialized launched that just had won the pre-Roubaix. So I rode the new Roubaix, which has the FutureShock 2.0, so you can lock it out, which is pretty cool. So it still like offers some cushion travel on the headset, but you also can lock it out for those pavement sections. So it's super aero, really light. I think my bike was about 18 pounds, and that's with the FutureShock with it. But on that tarmac. Yeah, oh my God, on that tarmac section, you could, you know, it rides like a road bike, really smooth, fast. It's more aero than the Specialized tarmac. So, but then you could also loosen up the shock when you hit all those rocks around Lake Hodges, things like that. So you have some suspension, which I found really useful, especially just for my comfort and skill level. It was amazing. I rode carbon CLX 32 wheels, with, I rode 28 millimeter Roubaix tubeless tires, no flats, no problem. And then the other kind of game changer was running that SRAM Red ETAP Access. So I had ETAP, like, but with Access. So I ran a 46-33 up front and a 10-33 in the rear. So I had seriously all the gears. So things I hadn't cleared the year before, I could clear. And then also just have more fun clearing it. Like, you're not as like, oh my God, there's this. You know, you cross the river and you look up, you're like, I don't know if I can ride that. Like, I could ride those things. And I'm not coming from a mountain bike background. And I do gravel, but gravel's not as technical as some things that we encounter at Belgian Waffle Ride. So I was able to have fun clearing things, feel safe on my bike, and then also have all the gears to be able to navigate that, as well as a little bit of comfort and stability. So I was pretty stoked on the bike. And we built it up special for BWR. We have some amazing photos of it. It has like this like fade glitter, and it's got like this abalone shell, like S-Works logo. I mean, it's an incredible bike. So that to me was pretty special to feel so safe and comfortable on my bike and be able to conquer that terrain with like, and have fun doing it versus like, I'm sure I could ride something else and be fine, but I had fun riding that bike because there were gears, it's comfortable. You're not just like manhandling a bike and trying to make it work.
I feel like you just like created a new tagline for your tire, the tires you ran. No flats, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's
perfect. So like overall, you think like that was the bike, like, were you nervous at all? It was like thinking of like, oh, like, is this going to be the right tires or is this the right decision? Or were you like pretty confident going in? Like, yeah, this is going to be it. Did you come out of it pretty good?
Yeah, I was really confident with the bike. And the team I came in with Specialized, we all rode similar bikes, at least the women. And I felt confident and safe too, like just for me and, you know, my skill level and what I excel in. I felt like that was a really good setup. And, you know, if I ride it again next year, it's going to be the same setup. I feel like that was pretty amazing. And I just think it's, BWR is a strange beast because you need to set up a bike that can tackle what it's getting thrown at, whether it's sand, sharp rocks, river crossings, and then a lot of pavement. But then you also need it to last, you know? So some sections, the year we joke about Uber, like, yeah, I had a great road bike, but it just blew up, you know? And it's like it couldn't handle what we were throwing at it. And so this one, I felt confident that the bike was fast, aero, light, good gearing, good tires, but also could handle like the whole mix of terrain that's just getting like thrown in your face. And so I would run the exact same setup again because no issues there.
Perfect. Next thing I wanted to kind of chat about with you, obviously BWR did like a big push this year to really kind of get more women on board. You know, they did like 2-for-1 sign up. You know, Monster came on board with the bigger women's purse. Mm-hmm. They really like did all these different things to get more ladies out there. Did you see a difference? Do you think more girls were out there at the end of the day? I mean, like how did you kind of, you know, view that, you know, obviously being a girl, like.
Yeah. I mean, every time I enter an event like this that really supports women cycling and does it legitimately and authentically, like it's not for show. It's just like really legitimately trying to push for women cycling. I see more women showing up, which I'm going to be honest, makes it harder for me to win because the field gets stacked up and you're going, oh man, this, my day just got so much harder. But I think it's so awesome because you're making it this amazing sport that creates this opportunity for women to showcase what they can do out there. And especially these long events, like we really can do well and push each other. And it can like constantly raises the ceiling and the roof of women's cycling. So I really loved what BWR did with women's cycling in general. And to see so many women out there just either fighting to win, fighting to finish, fighting to just show up. I think that's incredible. And I think it starts a lot with grassroots. So it's the women that race professionally or are making this their career to support other women that even if they may come and challenge your podium position, like to still support them and create an environment that's cohesive and inclusive for more women to be inspired to get out and try it. Because honestly, it's just a challenge. It's not anything we can't do. It's just a challenge to get better at something and to show up. And so I think that that's a good call to action to both men and women, that it starts at grassroots and just not making it like BWR is this thing that is so scary and it's something that's inconquerable. It's something that like we all can do, whether you're just trying to finish or to win. It's just a matter of showing up, preparing, and joining like the bike party.
Like out of curiosity, like, you know, what do you think could be done? You know, you saw, you know, okay, obviously more girls at BWR, you know, they push to get more girls on board. Like, is there anything else that you see that could be done or, you know, from, you know, a different standpoint to maybe get more girls on board? Or do you ever like go out there thinking like while you're riding, like, oh, maybe if this was done or someone did this to get more ladies out there?
I think it, like I said, it does start at grassroots and there's a sense of ownership for women that have succeeded and paved the way in so many ways, like to welcome new women and to, like I said, include them, even if they're a threat, you know, like to still say, hey, this is a huge platform. Let's go and do this together. But I also think there could be some opportunities where maybe you can do some, you know, women's rides or, you know, like ways that you could, you know, showcase parts of the course to show them, like, you know, something about BWR becomes this enigma. It's this, oh, this is this sector so hard, and this sector so hard. But when you get out there, like, honestly, if I can do it, anyone can do it. Because it's not my skill set per se. Like, it's still challenging for me and for me to humanize the sport and say, hey, do you think Lake Hodges scares you? It scares me. And yeah, I'm racing to win, but it still scares me. You know, like, it's, we're all in this together. And so like, maybe just to show that it's not as scary as everyone's saying, like, it's actually really doable. It's just a matter of putting mind over matter and having good equipment and preparing. But other than that, it's like, it's just pedaling your bicycle, and pedaling your bicycle should be fun and easy in a way. Like, so maybe it's a couple rides or mentoring. And I think it's for, like I said, men and women to reach out to people to include them and not make it like this, you know, whale of a thing that you can't do, but it's just a matter of understanding how to prepare and then just like going to finish and have fun and find the tequila, find the beer and eat the waffles.
Key, eat the waffles and drink the tequila. I do know, I talked to Michael and he did mention that he's thinking about maybe doing like, because, you know, BWR puts on like the survival camp. And he was talking about possibly including a women's only camp for next year as well. And I think that could kind of touch on like what you're talking about getting like more girls out there. It's women specific and, you know, maybe going over some sections and doing some like tutorial style of like, hey, this is, you might think it's kind of scary or tough, but like you just go out in there and break it down, get all the girls out and, you know, maybe have someone like you on board to like help, you know, teach, you know, some skills or do something like that. And I think that could actually open the door as well to getting more of them out there.
Yeah. Because if I look at my trajectory at BWR, and we were laughing, but like first year I'm in an Uber, you know, second year I'm third. And then the third year I've crashed. But like, honestly, even after I crashed, like I'm riding sections that I hadn't rode the year I got third. You know what I mean? Like I had crashed. So I was trying to take my health over any sort of result as the priority, which I don't regret. But I was riding sections I never could have ridden. Granted, my equipment was unparalleled and amazing, but I think my skills had come up so high. I was pretty proud of myself for that. And so, yeah, I'm a professional cyclist and I've ridden all over the world, but it's stuff still scares me. And I think you can see your progression and your skills and confidence on that. And that it's not rocket science. It's just pedaling and, you know, lightening your weight here and there. And then also just like having freaking fun. Like, so what if you have to unclip and dab for a second? Okay. I mean, yeah, I think everyone does.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, no no stress, not serious. I mean, it's all about fun at the end of the day. I think that's what Beativer is really capturing with people.
It should be, you know, but people take it seriously. But you should just, like, literally just put a challenge to yourself. And if you want to, I don't know, like, I think out of the three times I guess we did it twice at River Crossing and Lake Hodges. Like, I don't always clear that, you know. I mean, I clear the river, but then you go up the next rock section, you're like, oh, man, wrong line. Even though I know the line, I just took the wrong line because I'm an idiot. You know,
it happens.
You know, and you're like, why am I over here? Because you're trying to pass somebody, or there's like a hiker, and then you're like in a boulder, and you're like, I guess I'm walking right now. But that's okay. Like, that doesn't matter. You're still moving forward. You know, you're still like, yeah, forward progress, and it's fun. Like, it's just to be funny. Like, because I think some of that stuff is so ridiculous that you're putting your bike through. But it can do it. And I think it's just a matter of enjoying it and just making sure you're not taking yourself too seriously while doing that.
No, totally. I like it. So obviously, you know, you did the pro bike racing thing. You've, you know, obviously been around the sport. You do a lot of events. How do you feel? I feel like this year was kind of a really kind of bigger turning point for an event like BWR, with like how much bigger it's getting from a rider presence to a media presence to, you know, the bike industry is taking it more seriously. The companies are coming on board, you know. I mean, we had a world tour rider this year. How do you feel like that trajectory is going within the US, you know, calendar, or just kind of the state of bicycles and bicycle racing and bicycle events over here? Like, do you see this just keep going down that path of like these events being popular, and, you know, that's kind of becoming the future? Like, what's your two cents on that?
Yeah, I think if anybody tells me gravel racing, or I'm not going to call BWR a gravel race per se, I'm going to call it like an adventure race, or, you know, like, it's kind of a mixed terrain of event. So these kind of adventurous races that are very popular these days are definitely continuing gaining momentum. And I think when people tell me, oh, it's going to plateau, and I'm like, no, it's not plateauing at all. Like, I think it's continuing to grow. It's definitely egged on the industry to create phenomenal equipment and continue innovation to make bikes that are still road performance, as well as to tackle a course that offers, you know, challenges like something like BWR does. And I think that's going to continue to grow. And these world tour riders, and I will tell you, I was a world tour rider the first year I did BWR, and I didn't finish, but I was a world tour rider at BWR, and it is, I think it's a really good way for these teams with these budgets and these riders that are on salaries to connect with the fans and still do a course that is, if you go hard, is so freaking challenging. And it's challenging even if you're just trying to finish, but if you're racing that thing, I mean, that is probably harder than a lot of races I had done in my career. You know, it's just never ending, and there's just so much thrown at you. It's like everything but the kitchen sink. And so I think that's going to continue to grow, because it's a way for these big teams to kind of take their riders off of this platform of racing these pro tour events that they don't connect with their fans, and they can go and just do a mass start ride with 2,000 of their new best friends and do the same course. And I think that is really good for cycling, because it makes it more inclusive, and there's more opportunity for people to see what the world's best are doing. And then at the end of the day, we hopefully can all just drink beer and talk about riding that course. Even if you're a couple hours behind somebody else, it doesn't matter. You know, what I'd like to see it continuing, though, is to make sure it's still fun and not so serious. Cause I don't really want to be like attacked by, you know, teammates or team members and have like tactics, cause that's not why I do it. But I think if we all just show up and we're just kind of freelancing and riding as hard as we can for as long as we can, or just trying to finish, and then we're all drinking beer at the end and telling our like war stories, I think that's where it can go. And if these big pros want to come in and do that, they A, get good training, and then B, get to connect with their fans, and then also get to just portray a sport that we all love. And so I think there's nothing bad about that. I think it's kind of awesome.
No, that's awesome. That's a good way to look at it right there. before we wrap this up, any closing statements, anything that your two cents? I always like to say you've done this now 3 times, you've experienced it, you know what it's all about. That person on the couch that's, maybe not in Southern California where they know the area, but, Midwest, East Coast, mm-hmm. or, even out of country now, people are coming from everywhere. Like, what, maybe they're thinking about doing it, but they haven't really just pulled the trigger. Like, what can you say to those people?
I think it's just about finding goals that inspire you. And if you want to, a kind of a crazy wild adventure on your bicycle, that's a roller coaster of emotions, mental and physical ability, signing up for something like the BWR is a great bucket list event just to kind of experience it. And just to continue to find something that makes you want to ride your bike every day to prepare for. And then when you get there, just know that all the money's in the bank, you're there, there's nothing else you could do. So just have fun. Because something I need to make sure I had to do this year at BWR just due to extensive amount of blood and, worried about my head and, injuries I might have had. I needed to make sure I was having fun. And I kept asking myself, am I having fun? Am I enjoying this? Do I want to be here? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. And I continued on. So winning the Kudos Award was really amazing for that reason, because I wasn't racing anymore, but I was stopping a lot at the aid station. I was finding the tequila and the beer, and I was riding with some really good friends and a really good support crew. And that's why the notes got sent into BWR, because we were riding fast, but we were just stopping a lot.
Are so fun to do that like that.
Yeah, we were having fun. And so we were passing a lot of people because I was hours behind. But I'm just passing a lot of people, but we're having a blast riding our bikes. And it was, there's 3 of us and we are just having so much fun riding bikes and passing people that were pretty blown. And we're just, I've just had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I feel great. I found a Tecate, I found a tequila, and I'm feeling, I'm having fun. And that's what I was just double checking. Am I having fun doing this? And so, yeah, we were really encouraging and cheering on everybody. And we were like, choo-choo, hop on the train. Let's do this, Cinco de Mayo, and we're just yelling at people as we are passing them. And if they can hop on, fine. If not, no problem. And just being super encouraging. And granted, I was doing that for making sure I was healthy and safe, but also it was fun. And that makes me want to come back or, engage in that community. So to remember, yeah, it's a race, there's results, but ultimately the process is so much more fun. And I know that sounds really cliche because so many people talk about, oh, it's a training, it's a process, but really it kind of is. You're excited about doing BWR, then just go see what your bike and your body and your mind can do. But then every day you get to go train with your friends and have fun and see parts of the course or not, or just study it or just take out a bike and do crazy stuff on your bike. And then you get out there and then just have fun. It shouldn't be about elbowing people out of a bike path. It should be about, cheering on your friends, because we're all kind of crazy, because it's a long freaking day in the saddle.
So that it is. That is a day.
I know. We're all nuts, right? What are we doing out there? I'm I don't even know. I say that in the aid station for 20 minutes and I'm just eating and drinking. I was I guess I could keep riding. Yeah,
that could be that could be a new award of you have a time punch card of how much you're actually at the aid stations. And it's I rode for 6 hours, but I partied for 4 hours at the aid stations.
Yeah, and that was really fun. That's why I think though the people I passed in the last 50 miles were well, she's so happy. I'm no, I'm having freaking fun right now. Yeah, and I'm really fast and I'm strong, but I am having a good time. And these people are my community, and I want to continue to invest in this community and into the cycling industry and, set a good example of what it should be. And yeah, there can be a pointy end of the race, but the pointy end of the race is really stressful. And this year, I guess blessing and a curse, I was injured and, fractured and all sorts of things, but I could then enjoy the back part of the race and have legitimate fun and stop and take photos and laugh. And, and then sections I was scared on, I just walked because I'm oh, that looks scary. And I'm okay with that. You know, like, choose health over results and choose fun over stress, and then ride your bike, you know, like, the reason why you want to. It's to challenge yourself and go hard, but also don't take yourself so seriously.
So no, that's what it's all about. Just riding your bike, having fun, having a challenge, but having a beer and tequila after and having a laugh with your friends, yeah, or some new friends you made out there.
Oh, shoot. Should I not have had that during?
And during.
But. Okay. Shoot.
All right. Well, thank you. much appreciated for you jumping back on. You know, Kudos Award winner. We had to, of course, talk with you. And, you know, we're going to keep these going. So, you know, I'm sure we're going to get you back on here, you know, sooner than later. And, you know, we'll just keep the conversations going. But, yeah, best of luck with everything you got coming up next. And, you know, we'll be following your stuff.
Perfect. And thank you again for the award. I think it was really an honor. And I was maybe a little dramatic during the race only because I was really bloody. But honestly, I had fun. I felt safe because who I was with and being in that community was really powerful. And to finish was hard enough for me this year. So to be able to have this award and have the acknowledgement was more than I ever expected, but it's really worth it. So I appreciate your community and what you guys have done. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. And until next time, much appreciated for the chat. And yeah, we'll talk soon.